Good morning, everyone. I'm Donna Moriarty. I'm a member of the Board of Trustees, and I was asleep at the wheel. I'm welcoming everyone to our celebration this morning. This is our Thanksgiving intergenerational service, and we're really glad to see old faces and new. We welcome all, regardless of age, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, religious background, or political affiliation, factors that can sometimes separate people in the larger culture. If this is your first time visiting us, we ask you to join us after the service for coffee and bagels and conversation. Anyone you see with a name tag on can tell you what it's like to be a member or a friend of this congregation. And we also encourage you to come back a few times if you like what you see here. There's a lot of variety in our services, and it'll give you a real flavor of what we're about. You can sign our guest book out in the entry hall. Let's see, I think I got everything. Is there supposed to be an announcement this morning? I thought there was, they didn't come. Okay, no chalice lighters today. Well, again, we welcome everyone, and we look forward to getting to know you after our service.
Good morning, everyone. Today, we offer up a story to you all, children and adults alike. It is a story not unlike the one about the pilgrims coming to America so many years ago now. Told from a child's perspective, it is about the reasons why a group of people had to leave their homeland, had to leave everything they loved and held dear, because of some unexpected and terrible events happening in their lives. It is about holding on to one's ideals, even when one is forced to change the way one lives or thinks about the future. The pilgrims had to leave Europe if they wished not to be told what to do and how they should worship their God. It was a very dangerous journey on that ship called the Mayflower. And it was a very difficult time when they first landed in America at Plymouth, with little food or shelter, with many sick or even dying. The story you will hear today is similar to this one of olden days, although it is set in modern times. It is a story about why a people had to leave their home and go on a frightening journey to an unknown future that they dared to hope would be a good one for them all. This kind of story is told over and over again through the ages with many different people, and it occurs in many parts of the world, not just those near America. So let us listen to this story as it unfolds during this service and try to imagine what it might be like if we were the young boy or girl in the story, or the mother or father, on that dangerous journey that they must take. How would you feel? What would be your hopes? How would you cope? How would you keep your dream alive of finding a welcoming home once again, where all would be treated fairly and allowed to be what they wished to be? Also, this is a story of what it is we must be thankful for, especially in times when things seem so uncertain and scary. I would invite you all to consider what it is in your lives that you are truly thankful for. What people in your lives are important to you, and why? What kinds of gifts have been given to you of where you live, of what you are allowed to do, of what you are allowed to have in your lives? Can we be thankful for such gifts? During the service, I invite you all to think about these things, especially as you hear what gifts were taken away from the family in this story and what gifts they still could keep no matter what happened. Near the end of the service, we ask that you write down some of the things that you are thankful for in your lives on that leaf that you were given, And if you haven't gotten one, there are some in the basket in the back of the room, and there's also some pencils back there as well. So I would like you to think about what to be thankful for in your lives, be it loved ones, freedom to believe as you wish, caring people in your lives, a warm and safe home, or a new puppy at home who licks your face in happiness. Then near the end of the service, I will invite you all to come up and place these leaves on our Thanksgiving tree. And now we have a couple of chalice lighters. I think Rebecca Sala and Cecilia T. Berger are going to be lighting our chalice.
You have? Okay.
We have a very special thing we're saying today, too.
Uh-oh, you may have to do it. Want to try? Please rise and join us for the chalice lighting. We are part of a journey.
We are each part of a journey. A journey to find or build a home. Our journeys have begun long before we were born, and they will not end till long after we're gone. Today, we light this chalice that we may see from where we have come, to see where we are called to go, and to welcome and thank those around us who join us on the way. Now let us say together the words of our affirmation, also found in your order of service. Love is the doctrine of this fellowship. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek truth and love, to serve humanity in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow into harmony. Thus do we covenant with one another. Before we begin our fellowship greeting, I will call your attention to hymn number 349, which you may want to turn to just for the melody, for the notes, the music part of it, because the words are on an insert. So we're going to have different words than are in our book, so just so you are aware. Let us now quickly greet one another. Choir is going to lead us on this, so let them start, and then we will join in.
Pasture shall be green and the tree shall be
Life was nice in the village on the small island where Angel and his sister Jessica lived. They enjoyed growing up close to the beach, surrounded by their whole family. With their mother and father, they lived only steps away from their grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins. All the people on the island worked together, gathering food in the fields, fishing on the shore, helping each other, and even playing with each other. They were happy. It seemed like it had always been this way. It was all Angel could imagine, and he thought it would stay exactly the same forever. But that was not to be. One day, early in November, everything changed. That was the day the soldiers came to the village. When they came, stores began to close, and Angel and Jessica began to find that some of their friends had left their homes during the night. One day, they arrived at their school to find it, too, had been closed. They started to stay inside almost all the time. The whole family sat in that house very still and listened carefully. They began to feel very afraid. Angel wondered if they too would have to leave. If that was so, Angel wondered, where would they go? Then one night, the soldiers came to their house. Mother told Angel and Jessica to hide under the bed. They could hear the soldiers' loud and angry voices. Finally, when the soldiers left, Angel's father called the children to come out. "We must leave right now," he told them. "Why?" asked Angel. "Because we do not think the way they think, my son. I cannot explain so that you would understand. All I can tell you is that we have to leave, and leave in a hurry." As they all began to get ready for the journey, their father told them that they could only take but a single change of clothes. No toys, no picture albums, nothing but money and what they could trade for money to go to America. The word America was not new to Angel and Jessica. They had heard it whispered before by friends who had left the village earlier and by their parents too. As they gathered what little they could take and moved into the darkened streets, they were joined by others who also had left everything they had known behind. No one made a sound. Angel knew there was danger. He didn't know where they were going, but he understood they couldn't stay. But he also knew that somewhere, somehow, it would be okay. That he believed in his heart. He would help make sure. As they walked down the street, he grabbed hold of his sister's hand. When Angel's family arrived at the harbor, many boats were there, as well as many other families like them. Men stood by the edge of the boats while gold passed from one pocket to the other. Angel's father came over to his mother and said, "I must have your wedding ring and your garnet necklace to buy our passage on the boat." His mother said nothing and quietly gave them over. Soon it was time to get on the boat with the other families who were already boarding. Engines roared to life, and the tiny fishing boat, loaded with many people, motored loudly away from the harbor toward the open ocean. Jessica asked her father, "Are we there yet, Papa? Can we see America?" "Not yet, my dear," her father replied. Just an hour from shore, the motors stopped. Men crowded around the engines. "A part is broken that cannot be fixed," Angel's father told his family. But no one gave up. Everybody worked together to make a sail by knotting clothes together. But the makeshift sail carried them back to their own shore. As they got close to the beach, soldiers began to shoot at them from the cliffs over the beach. They quickly turned the boat around again toward the open ocean. "Are we there yet?" Jessica asked again. "No," her father replied. "How long, Papa?" she asked. "A little while longer," he told her and held her close. Jessica felt better when she felt her father's arms around her, even if she did not see him look over at her mother with tears in his eyes.
We all feel better if there is someone who can put their arms around us in times of need, times when we are frightened or uncertain. And yes, it increases our joy if we can share it with others too. Joyous hugs are just as valuable as comforting ones. So let us now offer an opportunity for people to share their joys and sorrows with others in this community. Let it be a sort of a symbolic group hug as we listen and take in where we are as individuals today. Let us both sympathize and celebrate together. So if you have a joyous sorrow you'd like to share, please come up, light a candle, and tell us what it is.
Hi, I'm Katie Alberti, and this is a candle of joy for the recovery that I've made after my foot surgery last June, and thanksgiving for all the help that people have given me, especially my husband, John, who's finally been given a reprieve to go to the city for you know, a little excursion on his own today. But he just was there whenever I needed him, did whatever I needed, and was just incredible. I still have a little more recovery to go, getting the full function back in the foot, but I have to remember where I was and how far I've come.
Hi, I'm Phil Sears, and this is a candle of joy to my wife, Carrie, who is one-third of a way through her three-week visit to Japan on a Fulbright Memorial scholarship. And she left our daughter at home to keep me on the straight and narrow.
Good morning. My name is Joanne Grun, and this is in honor of the peoples of Africa in the Congo, Sudan, Rwanda, and elsewhere, suffering through civil wars and rape and poverty and AIDS, and just a tribute to their struggle and their courage and their culture.
Good morning. I want to give thanks to, and I want to thank Lynn first for her story and her comments. I want to give thanks to people who I never met and don't think enough about. My grandparents, who came here from a country where they were not welcome. They never could speak English, to my knowledge. And there's a wonderful song by an Irish singer named Dolores Keane, who writes about her grandfather, who sings about her grandfather, and says that he gave her the gift of this country. And I thank him for that.
I'm Merle Kitchen. I'm lighting this candle for all of you, as well as for my friend Jack Letts. Have you a friend you haven't talked to in weeks, months, years, please do so. This chap called me several years ago and said, I could be dead and you wouldn't know it. I said, that's right, Jack. Last night I was tempted to call him impulsively. I haven't been able to talk to him for the last few weeks. I wonder why. That being behind us, in any event, I called. I said, I want to talk about us. He gave me a story that maybe it's usual also among other people. This man, in 1 week's time, had a tumor develop in his upper right thigh the size of a golf ball and already has it excised. He was happy to get the call, and I'm happy that I talked with him because I thought about doing it for some time. And in the spirit of the season, call.
And I light this final candle for all the joys and concerns and sorrows that might be with us, even though they are unspoken. May we keep all of these joys, concerns, and sorrows, the spoken ones and the unspoken ones, in our minds, in our hearts, and in our prayers this very special holiday week.
As the boat sailed on, day followed night, and night followed day, the food ran out. Many became sick. At sunset, everyone huddled close together. Then Angel's mother, sensing her children were becoming frightened, began to sing. Soon, their father began to sing too, then the others on the boat. After a while, Angel and Jessica began to sing, like they used to back home. And for a while, they all felt safe. Please join me in hymn number 116, I'm on my way, with the help of the choir.
Thank you.
The waves and the wind continued, and so did their hunger. By day, everyone took turns fishing off the side of the boat and shared the catch. When it rained, they caught the water in buckets and saved it to drink. Early one morning, there was the shout of, "Land!" And everyone on the boat crowded close to the railing. They got close to the shore, and some men waded ashore to the beach. They were met by soldiers with guns. They did not shoot at them like the other soldiers had done. They even gave them some food and water. But the soldiers told them that they would have to leave and make sure that their boat headed again out to the open ocean. "Was this not the right land, Papa?" Angel asked his father. "Will it not do?" "It would do," he explained, "but they would not take us." Jessica tugged at his arm. "They don't like us?" she asked. "It's not that." He stopped and looked sadly at their mother. He did not finish explaining why they could not stay. In another few days, when their food was almost gone, they spotted another boat roaring close to them. For a moment, everyone was filled with joy. "They'll give us food," someone shouted. "They'll show us where we can go," another shouted. But as the men in the other boat pulled up close, everyone could see that their faces were covered, and they carried pistols and rifles. "Thieves!" Angel's mother screamed. And sure enough, they were. The thieves boarded their boat, waving their guns around and demanding money and jewels. There was little left to take, but what the people had, they gave over to the thieves, who then roared away on their boat and left the people with even less than they had before. The sea was rough that night, and the voices of the people that sang were almost lost in the wind. Angel and Jessica forced their mouths to speak the words as the stars dipped and turned above their heads. Please join me now for hymn 169, "We Shall Overcome."
Thank you.
On the very next day, Angel and his family awoke and began to fish. And suddenly, they sighted land again. But all the people were too afraid to hope. They looked out to the tree-lined shore and were watchful. A boat came out to them from the shore, a large boat, much bigger than the people's boat. Angel's mother clasped her hands and bent her head and prayed. The man driving the big boat looked over to the people huddled close together in the small fishing boat. He circled them twice. He shut off the engine and then walked over to his railing and smiled. He threw down a rope, which was tied to the bow of the fishing boat, and the big boat pulled the little one to shore. There was silence among the families on the boat as they arrived, an anxious, watchful silence. They saw some people waiting for them on the dock. "Welcome," they called out as Angel and the others stepped upon the land for the first time in many days. "Welcome to America." That was when the silence turned to cheers.
Just as those Americans welcomed people from a foreign land, offering up their hospitality to them, let us now offer up our sustaining gifts to our fellowship. It is by such offerings we are nourished and inspirited. It is by such offerings that our hopes are realized and our dreams come true.
More people on the shore came out of their homes and took the sick people from the fishing boat into their homes, put them to bed, and gave them medicine. They took the others to a big building that had a very long table set up with more food than anyone had seen in quite a while. They told the people to eat. "Do you know what day it is?" a woman asked Angel as she passed him a dinner plate. "It is Coming to America Day," he replied. "Yes," she smiled, "that is true. But it is a special day for another reason, too. Today is Thanksgiving." "What is Thanksgiving?" Jessica asked happily as food began to come her way. And the woman told them about unhappy people who had come to America a long time ago, about how they were sad to leave their old homes and cross the ocean to this new place, about how they wondered if they would be welcome there and if they could survive there. But they came to be safe, to be free, to find new opportunities. And when they arrived, they did two important things. They ate together and they gave thanks together. They realized that just as the food nourished them and allowed them to survive, so did the people who helped them and loved them and taught them every day along their journey. "We have much to be thankful for," Angel's father responded. And as he said this, the others at the table bowed their heads in prayer. And the choir will now sing "For the Beauty of the Earth."
Oh,
Not many of us live on the American shoreline where refugees may come needing a new home. Not many of us are given the opportunity to so tangibly, so directly help those in need. But we do have an organization affiliated with our denomination that seeks to help people worldwide who are in need. It is the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. Yes, they do sometimes give people the proverbial fish to eat for a day, but this organization of ours tries more to teach people to fish so that they can eventually feed themselves. It is living out our first principle of respecting the inherent dignity and worth of each individual. Some of the projects that the UU Service Committee is working on right now are in Thailand, helping refugees from Burma who fled their country because Burmese soldiers attacked their villages, killing many people and burning down their fields and barns filled with food. The UU Service Committee representatives are trying to teach them to help themselves, educating them about their rights and how to lead, about how to advocate for themselves to get their needs met. In the Congo, they are helping young women in poverty-stricken areas to go to school rather than end up in less savory occupations that demean, harm, and often eventually kill them with disease. By learning a trade, young women have a choice for a better future. Another program that the UUSC is supporting is right here in America. It is organizing the Just Works Work Camps program, which invites teenagers to go on short-term service projects in areas where people are struggling for social justice and human rights. They could be sent to such places as Native American reservations or migrant worker campsites. There, they learn firsthand what these people's issues are and how they could help them in concrete ways, like repairing a school or digging trenches for new plumbing. In Guatemala, UUSC representatives sponsor a program called the Integral Development of Victims of Violence and works with the people there to do such things as help them look for disappeared children who were caught up in the violence that wrecked that country in the recent past. Although we may not be able to go to such places as Thailand or the Congo or Guatemala or even to Native American reservations, we can help others do so. The UUSC annual fundraising vehicle, the Guest at Your Table program, is its chief means for gathering funds to do this kind of work. It is their chief means of gathering funds. Please take home a box today. During our holiday season, please remember those who do not have as much to be thankful for as we do here. Let us share our bounty with those less fortunate than we. Let us share with them as we would a guest who was invited to our table. Now last year, we do this program every year, last year we did not gather much funds to send to the UUSC. I blush to tell how little it was. I will shame you by saying it is the lowest I have ever seen any congregation give to this cause, even congregations much smaller than your own. If you find putting coins in a box at mealtimes not to your taste, I strongly urge you to consider just writing out a check addressed to the UUSC GAYT for a guest at your table. You can do it today or on any Sunday during December or even January. Be generous in sharing what you have been so fortunately given. Show you care about so many others, so less fortunate than yourselves. And now, I invite you, if you've not already done so, to write down those things for which you are thankful on that leaf that you should have. If you don't, there are some in that basket in the back. If you need a pencil, there are pencils in the back. Think of the things that you are thankful for, especially in light of today's story. And then, when you're ready, I invite you to come up and place them on our tree. And on your way back, please stop at our table here and pick up a box. There are many unfolded ones here. Take one of those. And the choir is going to lead us with a little song as we do this too. So let us quietly write them down and listen to music. Let this tree, with all its messages of thankfulness, help us remember all the wonderful gifts that have been given to us. May it help us be generous to those who do not share all the gifts that we have been given. Are we there yet at the place where we are truly giving and truly appreciative of all that has been given to us? I'll wager, not yet. But the journey is still to be completed. And now the Samoths, I think we'll be extinguishing our chalice. It's that time. Would you like to come up?
Please join us in extinguishing the chalice.
Carry the flame of peace and love until we meet again. Thank you. Now let us say together, sing together.
Go!